Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing on this Friday evening. Going out on the phone now to a Republican Representative Paul Scott of Grand Blanc, who is also chair of the House Education Committee. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Cheryl. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Read an article, wanted to get in touch with you about, as chair of the House Education Committee, you've certainly got your eye on everything going on with education in the state, and there have been some interesting developments in the last couple of weeks, and you have introduced a bill along with Bill Rogers of Brighton, representative, that's going to come down kind of hard if there's any kind of strike action by by teachers in the state of Michigan.
Well, yes, there are two bills that were introduced about a week ago now that were referred to my education committee. We've got world-class teachers in this state, and the issue here is the teachers' union, for various reasons, is engaging in a lot of fear-mongering and whipping up a lot of anxiety and has called for teachers to vote on whether or not they want to go out on strike. Now, it has been illegal for public educators to strike in Michigan since 1947. However, as has been pointed out in the teachers' union president's own letter, there aren't a lot of teeth in those laws. So we wanted to make sure that parents and children and administrators and teachers themselves knew that the state legislature and the government in Lansing want people to be getting their education. We have to be able to have discussions about how we're going to handle our budget without the fear of people going on strike. So what our bills do just put some teeth and penalties in laws that already prevent educators from going on strike.
Were you surprised when you saw that email, well, it went out in email form is where I found it at first, from Ira Salters, the president of the MEA, that said that that we would be taking, she was authorizing crisis action and so forth. Were you surprised to see something like that that include job action, which clearly inferred a strike if it didn't say it directly?
Well, I was shocked and appalled. It's just kind of a reckless abuse of her power. Here Ira Salters is making $275,000 a year before any benefits, and she's sending out statements asking her members to engage or vote on whether they want to engage in illegal activities and forfeit their paychecks. It's just really a total misuse of her power. And I've got to be honest, Cheryl, the teachers in my district kind of have uniformly been telling me, while no one is excited about possibly taking wage cuts or benefit freezes, they're committed to the children. There's just a fundamental disconnect between Ira Salters and the teachers around the state. And we're aware of that in Lansing. And, frankly, probably the most appalling thing about the request Ira Salters is putting forward to the teachers, it puts them in a tough spot because now you have your union president asking you to take a vote on something, and union members are kind of in a culture where you want to support the leader, but at the same time, their passion is in the classroom. So, make no mistake about it. This is just reckless behavior out of a union president that's playing politics. And we need to focus on making the tough decisions in Michigan, and teachers should be able to focus on teaching in the classroom.
And what she in the memo that she did send out again, we're speaking of MEA board president Ira Salters. She talks about that House Bill 4152 in the MEA's remarks was a bill of an outright attack on collective bargaining that would have devastating financial impact on every teacher, support staff, employee, and public employee in general. And it doesn't sound to me like the students were included in the thoughts there.
Yeah, some of the language coming out of Ira Salters' office seems like right out of the communist Soviet Union. Everything's an attack. All 4152 says is when your contract expires, you're not entitled to an automatic pay increase before you sign a new contract. These are just rather basic discussions and common sense measures. And, President Salters is using her position to try and influence 155,000 members for political reasons. And, you know, it's, as you put it, Cheryl, it's just totally ignoring the students, our communities, and why we have a public education system altogether.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make opinion. As I'm reading through here, that was just kind of missing for me as I was reading through the information. She also, or the MEA literature, I should say, talks about there's no incentive for good faith bargaining in 4152, that it destroys that idea. And you just alluded that it's the opposite of that. It just, this is part of the bargaining process.
Exactly. I mean, what 4152 says, if the teacher's contract has expired before they're able to sign a new one, they would receive their same salary and same benefits as they did the year before. I don't see that as an attack. I don't see that as a circumvention of collective bargaining at all. We're actually guaranteeing their salaries and benefits at the previous year's levels. And frankly, in this economy, I think the vast majority of the population would love to be able to say that.
Well, I'm about to do some interviews later in the show, Paul, that they would be happy to have something like that in their contract. I'm quite certain of it. So you kind of hinted at it earlier. I'm wondering about the feedback that you've gotten from folks, teachers and community members, with this bill on the table for about a week now.
Yeah, you know, the teachers in my district, first that they were just, felt like they were put in a very difficult position. Want to know why they're being asked to vote on something that is illegal. I have a lot of friends. I'm from Grand Blanc that are teachers there. They do a wonderful job, and they wanted to let me know that's certainly not indicative of their beliefs. So I would assume Ira Salters has received significant feedback to the negative. Unfortunately, just today, you probably don't have it, but she sent out another message that requested teachers don't make any large-scale expenditures and save up enough money to be able to survive 2 months without work, clearly implying that that's the direction she'd like to go in. It's the notion that we have to be even talking about this, Cheryl, is most disturbing. Kids are entitled to get a world-class education, immune from all these political pressures. In the letter you have, she talks about the only purpose for this work stoppage or strike would be to apply political pressure on legislators. And that's not what public education is about.
And you said off the top, Paul, that this is intended to put some teeth into existing
right.
law. And this would fine MEA, fine the MEA, if my information is correct, and please correct me if it's wrong, $5,000 per teacher for each full or partial day of a strike should it occur.
That's right, and it would fine the bargaining or organizing unit. The MEA covers the vast majority of teachers in the state, but there are other teacher unions out there. But make no mistake, Ira Salters and the MEA are the ones that are kind of ratcheting this up, and we just want to make sure there's a clear signal out there. If you're going to continue in these activities, there are going to be penalties to pay. I am thinking of entertaining an amendment when we do take it up in committee to add on to strike-like activities, because as we saw in Wisconsin, you have the blackboard flu and they're getting doctor's notes, but they're out on strike in 10-degree weather. So, just so there can't be an end run around the definition strike, we would want to include strike-like activities. Again, it's just disappointing we have to have these conversations. The teachers I've talked to are not in line with this mentality. It's just a union president thinking it's the 1960s and, engaging in Jimmy Hoffa-style tactics at the public's expense.
And I also found it interesting, too, that it also would fine the teachers individually and would strip a striking teacher's license as well. I would think, Paul, that would get the teachers putting pressure on the MEA to say, wait a minute, this is very serious. We may not want to be a part of this, or we need to look at this differently. And that's the intention?
Yeah, exactly. 95% plus of teachers have no intention of entertaining this whatsoever. But, there are a few that are extremely loyal to the union. And, these teachers, they're not paying attention to what's going on in Lansing to the degree you and I might be. They're going about their daily business educating students. So some of them do rely solely on their union officials to tell them what's going on. And we just want to let them know, hey, there's a lot of rhetoric out there about attacks, and, you know, we're at war with the legislature. You have a job, and we want you to keep it, and the penalty for striking is that you'll lose your certificate. And, you know, again, these are dealing in a lot of hypotheticals. We'll see how the votes come out that President Salter's called for. I can't imagine they're going to be too favorable for her.
Well, it would, if I were a teacher, let me put it this way, I would be thinking long and hard about where my support would be and how I would approach this issue. I did like a quote in an article I read on MLive about this subject that you said that this is an example being set for the young. Do you remember what you said?
Well, exactly. I mean, I remember when I was in, you know, middle school and high school, and you really, really look up to your teachers, and if they're out there walking out of the classroom, engaging in illegal activities, these are young, impressionable minds, and that's going to be something that lasts with them for the rest of their lives. We just can't have that here in Michigan.
Well, I it's interesting legislation. As I've said to other guests on similar topics, we live in interesting times, Representative, and we will follow this along, and I hope I can get in touch with you again and speak with you as we move. Where is this bill right now?
Well, it was introduced last week, and it was referred to my Committee on Education Policy, so we're continuing to monitor the situation, and, you know, again, hopefully this is the last time we talk about it. I'm very confident Ira Salter's members are going to see this for what it is, and, you know, they're happy doing their jobs. And as I said at the outset, no one likes talking about wages and benefits being reduced, but engaging in illegal activities is never an alternative.
Very good. Well, I appreciate your time this evening so much. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Republican Representative Paul Scott of Grand Blanc, who also chairs the House Education Committee. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this on 1320 WILS.